At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Hour 3, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, the New School Way. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Madden slash Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. We are essentially 24 hours or 27 hours away from kickoff. First game of the 2025 season for our Nebraska Cornhuskers, and most likely, I mean, really the kickoff to the whole college football season starts tomorrow, even though we had a week zero game last Saturday. It was a little bit of an appetizer. You get the full-on meal, a la carte, or whatever you want this weekend. It's a good slate of games, and obviously the most important game is Nebraska against the Cincinnati Bearcats. And so we had a good whiteboard Wednesday. We talked about what to maybe look for, how Cincinnati is going to try to attack this young, an aggressive Nebraska defense and black shirt defense that's going to try to go out there and establish themselves. And, you know, I think it really comes down to, you know, how Nebraska is able to realistically, Austin, number one, obviously stay out of their own way, which has obviously been a big deal in over history. And then obviously they, you know, got a little bit better at it last year. But then more importantly, you know, offensively, defensively, and special teams, you know, come out and dictate the pace early. And how do you do that? Brennan Sorsby is the real deal quarterback. He's one of the best out there. He is not, you know, don't fool yourself and try to say he's not that good because he's at Cincinnati. He's good, mm-hmm. And that's fine. You're playing. You come to Nebraska to play against good players.
Former Indiana guy, by the way.
And he's a big old kid. He can run. He can make you miss. He's played in a lot of big games. He's played with, you know, he's went into a full-on fight with maybe one arm behind his back because they don't have as much talent as they either really as they're used to having based on the portal losing guys. But as some of the teams that they've, you know, come across in the Big 12 has been significantly better than where they were before. And then Joe Royer is their senior tight end. He's a real NFL player too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to see how they're going to try to attack Nebraska, they're going to try to really, really do a good job on the inside and give Sorsby a really clean pocket, really efficient passing game early, and then try to hit you over top. And their 1,000-yard rusher is playing for the 49ers now. So that's a plus. But you just always got to expect, whether it's Caleb Goody or Jeff Caldwell on the outside or Tywee Walker or even Evan Pryor, they're going to be able to run the ball because oddly enough, Cincinnati for the most part tried to be physical. That means lining up and 11 personnel coming at you. So that means you're going to get a lot of inside outside zones, outside zone cutback, inside zone cutback, and a little bit of, I call it a delay inside zone where he just gets the ball and waits to see where it all kind of comes, you know, out of the wash, and then maybe try to hit a gap. So there's a lot of things on the table for Nebraska. You know, they're probably going to get down there at some point in time, and this is a tricky part. They've had a long training camp. You waited all year for this. You prepared all year for this. You talked about it all year. You said this is a new year, new team. You know, that now you got to go out there and show everybody how you've been practicing. I mean, that's really what you were going to do. You know, this game is just you're not going to do anything generally new that you hadn't been doing for
since spring, at the very least.
Yeah,
for a couple of years now, if not getting back to November for a lot of these guys, right? Especially on the offense, and at least since bowl prep season on the defense. Now, who knows what they were able to add during those 15 extra, you know, hallowed practices for the bowl game. But at the very least, that's, you know, four extra weeks plus for the offense with Dana Holgorsen and an extra three-ish weeks for the defense and some of these guys with John Butler. You're not going to know everything about them, what they want to do, read their mind in this short time frame. But that's where I think that acclimation period could help Nebraska if they were breaking in new guys and everything had to happen in spring. Everything had to happen over the summer, and then you get into fall ball. I'm sure it's like drinking out of a fire hose already, but would have been fire hose and a half, you know, turned up to maximum if Butler and Holgorsen hadn't been in those roles before the end of the 2024 season and, of course, the Pinstripe Bowl that Nebraska ended up winning. So if there is something you haven't practiced that gets called, number one, that's why you study your game book, your playbook. Number two, probably on the coaches. If you haven't repped it a lot, probably shouldn't be calling it in game one against Cincinnati unless it's dire circumstances, which number one, obviously you hope that it's not for Nebraska. But number two, I don't think Cincinnati is a team that Nebraska is going to be able to get by without pulling out all the stops. Right.
No, this is a real deal football game. And I think the 15 practices, Austin, were as big for the two new coordinators and maybe bigger for them because they get 30 more days to kind of look at the roster, see what they like, see what they don't like. You know, they can get more familiar with Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Butler was here before, but Coach Dana can kind of, all right, where am I going to, you know, live and all this other stuff. And that helps you coach better. But then also, I think you can get a better, I guess, knowledge and be more dialed in on your roster. What guys can do, what Dylan likes, you know, get that connection there. And I think this, you know, this game hopefully is a byproduct of the time that and energy that they put in together throughout the offseason, spring ball, and obviously summer camp, and then I guess two-a-days or training camp, and it'll be able to go out there and put it on display, you know, against Kansas City. I think that also I always caution people, this first game is just a snapshot. After six games, you're generally going to know what type of team you have. You're going to see what type of player you are, because you would probably, by six games into the season, you most likely have played at least two tough teams, so you can really fairly judge them. You know, mm-hmm. In Indiana's case, they were boat racing guys, and their first true test was against Nebraska, and they did a very good job against Nebraska, obviously. So, but within the first six, seven, eight games, first six games for sure, I think you're going to really know where they're at. Now, when you play a team like Cincinnati, you got to expect you're going to get their best effort. They didn't play up to their standards last year. They probably felt like they should have been able to at least be 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, contrary to people's belief, people in the Big 12 and the ACC do not look at the Big 10 like they're that much better.
No, they don't. The Big 10 looks at itself as so much better.
Yeah, and they should.
Deservedly, to some degree.
Ohio State and Michigan won the national championships.
Mm-hmm.
But the separation isn't as big as people are trying to say. It's a different athlete, sure.
That is in some cases.
Yeah, in some cases. What happens is you really focus on the Georgias and the Bamas and forget about Vanderbilt and all these other teams. And Vanderbilt and all those lower end teams tend to ride the coattails of the known entities.
Mm-hmm.
And then thinks that since they're a part or just in the same, you know, presence as Bama, Georgia, or whoever, that you're better than, you know, the best teams in the Big Ten, so forth and so on. My point is that Cincinnati isn't looking across the line of scrimmage and thinking like, all right, we're just here just to go through the motions. Let's keep this close.
They have every intention of starting 1-0.
Yeah. And they feel probably good about who they've had all offseason to kind of get some continuity with their transfer portal receivers, mm-hmm. with Sorsby, and they've been able to, you know, potentially been able to, you know, repair their offensive line. They're an older unit, especially up front on defense, so they're going to pose problems. They are allowed to have good players.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they might have the best player playing on Thursday in Corleone.
Yeah, probably.
There's an argument for it at the very least.
And he's a good player. And so, but Nebraska's got good players as well. And so, you know, you feel like they're a good team. Or, you know, the Cincinnati's a good team. We got to be a great team. Or we got to be great, you know, or be better than them come Thursday. And, you know, it's
And it's hard to be great week one, right? We've heard Matt Rhule talk about that, right? Their cut up of 60 to 70 plays was a lot of bad football from week zero, teams playing their first game. But that's the challenge. Be as great as you can week one, right? Don't use week one as an excuse to be sloppy. Don't use week one as an excuse. Oh, coach, I wasn't sure. Oh, don't worry. I'll get it next time. Use it as, hey, it's for real now. The lights are on. It matters. I got to be at my best right away.
Yeah, there's no more excuses. And you just got to go out there and play football. You got to go out there and win. And it's going to be a tough challenge. I think, you know, relatively, the game's going to be pretty close. I think Nebraska can, in their own way, blow these guys out. That means it was, you know, you can win by 10 plus points and it'll never really be a threat, even though you're not continuing to add to the lead. So it's an interesting time because, you know, right now if you think about it, Austin, I'm big on the energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just right now in Lincoln, the energy is like real subdued. You know what I'm saying? It's chill right now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because everybody's trying to make plans to get out of town, right? And that's fine. But come tomorrow night, this biggest step for this team is it can't be circumstantial on how you play this game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about just play the game of football. You can't depend on the crowd. You can't get used to the crowd. You can't think you're entitled to blind crowd noise. You have to create the crowd. You have to create the advantage. How many times have you ever heard of a player or after a big win and the crowd had a big factor that, man, we played like crap, man, but that crowd was great for us. And that won't happen. No. So you got to go out there and create your own, you know, anarchy on Cincinnati sideline. And, you know, I think some of my keys to the game, you know, I know we have Foreman's four. We'll get that coming back. We got a little bit of Black Shirt Breakdown. We'll get that going. We got a lot of stuff going on in Old School as we move into the last 4 months of the year, which is crazy. I just felt like it was New Year's, right? But when you think about it, number one, don't punch yourself in the face. And more importantly, don't do it in the first two drives. Procedure penalties, offsides, late hits, all that stuff.
Turnovers, coverage, big play, whatever.
The first two series. Because if you do that the first two series, you creating doubt in their head because they're expecting the same old thing, right? So they think that they're able to really come in and be able to talk some junk because they figure you spot them 3 to 6 points. And when that doesn't happen, then we got to knuckle up and play football. Okay, the other one is eliminate explosive plays within the first three drives defensively, primarily by the air.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's our strength. We have to play to our strength. Our strength has to be superior defensively Thursday or tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
That's a must. All right? Because if it's not, it's like, you know, the way they tell you, cut off the head off the head off the snake or whatever, then, you know, their body fails, right?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Number three, we have to win the third down, offensively and defensively, because we are bigger and stronger by that team. Bigger and stronger than that team up front. The more times that we can get the offense or the ball to the offense, we will be able to wear them out.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously defensively, the less time that we're on the field, the less time Sorsby could do his thing. So it kind of goes, and then Dylan could do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And number four, the most important, we got to win the 12 most important minutes of the game. 6 minutes before half, 6 minutes after half. That's the most important 12 minutes of the game. We got to win that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to finish the half strong, and we got to come out rolling. We win those 12 minutes, the game, the game's over. And the asterisk is, once the game, once you go into the locker room before the game kicks off, leave all the nonsense, all that stuff out of it. Like all the
extracurriculars, the noise.
Who's watching the game, you know, is Travis Kelce here? All that stuff. Like, you gotta let that go. Because that's how when you look at national championship games and you're talking about, is the moment too big? That's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily talking about, is the moment too big and you're going up against, like, you're 14 games in a season and you're looking at a guy, you know he's good. You're like, oh, this is like an alien coming down here. No, the moment is too big because you can't refocus. Mm-hmm. So this is where we have to be able to go out there, embrace it, refocus. It's over. Win.
Next play mentality.
And it's got mm-hmm. but that next play, from when you go into after pregame warmups to when we come out to when it's game warmup, it's got to be a totally different mentality.
Even though there's like, what, 10 minutes difference? Yeah. Half an hour difference, if that?
Not less than that. Yeah. Well, you go
you're in and out?
Yeah, and depends if, you know, they'll do a flyover.
Ceremonies, flyover. Yeah, so say 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah. That's the most important 15 minutes. Well, the second most important 15 minutes, according to me, of the game. Or 12 minutes.
12 minutes, right.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
Also, how do you decide on 12? I hear a lot of coaches talk about middle eight. Why are those extra 2 minutes extra important for you?
Because I think it's the last six of the half mm-hmm. and the first six. Because the middle eight is essentially going to 4 minute.
Yeah.
Well, with the way that the possessions now and the way teams play, they hurry up and play. Well, you're not mm-hmm. in 4 minute anymore because nobody's running two tights and running it down your face.
Not for 4 minutes.
Not for 4 minutes.
Sure.
They might do it for, you're right. So instead of.
So essentially, you're saying one offensive drive and one defensive drive instead of just one final drive.
One final drive.
Gotcha.
Right. Okay. And so say it's 6 minutes left, you're on defense and you're able to kind of hold them to outside of field goal range, you get a punt. Okay. Now you're in 2 minutes. Mm. Okay. You know, can we get in the field goal range? Can we find something in those last 2 minutes that will lead us coming out of halftime mm-hmm. to use the whole next 6 minutes?
Can we hit an explosive, get points on the board, drain the clock, hopefully get the ball back to start the second half, and to your point.
You see it all the time. I forget what game it was last year, going in and somebody, you hit a big run, and next thing you know, they found something. You can find something even if you're not able to score out of the 2 minute drive. Because mm-hmm. you might only have one timeout left and, you know, a minute and 5 seconds left or 56 seconds left. Because when you're backed up, right, say you have to fair catch the ball, it's on the 12. What do you want to do? Well, we want to get ahead of the chains mm-hmm. right away. What do you just say? We just do a quick inside zone. Well, maybe we made an adjustment in the blocking scheme. Boom, we bust a 25-yarder.
So instead of second and six.
Yeah, right, but now we're close to the 40. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we got to either clock it, timeout. Okay, then now Coach Dana can go to the regular playbook. Mm-hmm. He's not in the backed-up playbook. That's five plays. Now we got 55 plays, and now we're like, okay, well, in this usually situation, which is in almost take a shot, they usually play this, but it's the, you know, the last minute of the game, since you're in, you know, in hyper 2 minute. Okay, this is what they usually play, but let's plan for what they'd regular play.
Which right? athlete do we want on the field?
And, right? Boom, you get another one. And say they stop you from a field goal. Well, that positive momentum goes into that locker room. So if you have struggled the first quarter and a half, that's out of your system. Say the game's tied 10-10, and it's been a kind of ugly game. Mm-hmm. But you drove it essentially from your 12 to...
to their 40.
Yeah, or 35 or something mm-hmm. like that. And just say...
edge of field goal range, incompletion.
Tackled in bounds. And, kind of like the Texas game, you had a second left, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You go in that locker room like, yeah, we found something. Mm-hmm. You come out of that locker room with that same momentum. Now, that defense goes in gassed. That's the 6 minutes that I'm talking about. Well, that same defense comes out when you got the momentum, because halftime shorter, we on you right now. Now we go down and score. Now you're on the heels now, right? We're up 17-7. Now here comes a super fresh defense. You get a quick stop. We get a big punt return. We get a three. We're up by double digits. Now we're at the end of the third quarter. We're looking to close now. Mm-hmm. Now we can say, now we can go to real 4 minute, mm-hmm. right? Because we're bigger, you know, and we got, you know, bigger bodies and all that. We can bring in an extra lineman. We can do everything we want. We can huddle. We can run down the clock. That's why granted, Matt Rhule and those guys know a lot more than me. They can keep the eight, and we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, but I like your phrasing too, because of how football is played at the college level now. Right. Because essentially, in those final 6 minutes, you ought to have one drive for your defense, one drive for your offense. Hopefully, right. it turns into I would hope, you know, two defensive drives, because right. you got a stop, you scored, you get a stop to end the half.
Yeah,
but either way, you plan on in those 6 minutes, both units seeing the field, yeah. both units going into half with that momentum off a stop for the defense, off a score for the offense. And then you do it again, right? Because let's say in this scenario, offense gets the ball first. Okay, defense, your turn. You've been chomping at the bit, ready to get back out there. You got to build on that, right? It's going to deflate a bunch of that momentum, those positive vibes, if you give up a score, right? You let Cincinnati right back in it, hypothetically. Do your job. Get a stop now and then give the offense a chance to put you up 2.5, 3 scores at that point. And then you're really starting to feel good about, hey, what can we do next drive to all but put it on ice?
Yeah, and it's also encapsulated in all that. It's the, you know, continue to work on the maturity of the team. Mm-hmm. You know, say the offense goes out and dominates that, you know, that 6 minutes into the, you know, the first half and the second half. Okay, defense. Now you have to double down on it and validate it. You can't sit back and just let them get, you know, come back and let Sorensby get a big run or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then now they got the momentum. So it's going to be a game of momentums, but it's also a game within the game. And, you know, one of the things that we'll do, you know, on Old School and on Inside the Huddle is that we'll look at inside the big plays or inside game changing plays, what actually led to those plays.
Yeah,
because I think that's part of what's doing it and what we're able to do. You know, what we try to separate ourselves so much on Old School is able to take the game, break that bad boy down. Because by the time we come on air, everybody talked about the big plays and everybody, they just essentially just looking around and just rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. But when you really look at how they're able to set up plays, we talked about, I call him the Batcher, Cliff Kingsbury, where I think he did a really good job with Jaden Daniels, where he made it very simple, like we talked about with Sorsby, mm-hmm. where they got into mesh and bunch, and they see how you reacted with a rookie quarterback. Now, with Sorsby, a rookie there at Cincinnati, you know, not rookie, but just essentially how do you, on the road, how do you dictate the coverage? How do you read the coverage? You're reading that dude right there. He hesitates. You're going there. Big play. Well, then guess what you asked? You remember what you asked me? What do you come off of? Well, they ran the same bunch formation. Detroit decided to go essentially one back, one gap and blitz. Well, he threw a now screen to Terry Scary in that same formation, the same type, same formation, same part of the field. Just a little bit of an adjustment off of that. Housed it. Game over. Mm-hmm. Detroit, you're going to the crib. Mm-hmm. And on Netflix. You know, that's the game right there.
And that's one of those things where you've said this before and it's worth repeating. Big plays rarely just happen.
Yeah.
Big plays are set up, right? That's why you talk about, you know, marrying run pass, marrying concepts, being able to be versatile, right? Where you can show someone the same look. This is the one thing they really like to do. Here's the thing they'll do sometime else. And then when the time's right, like you said, here's a third thing that we haven't shown on film. We ran it once like 6 years ago. Yeah. You're not expecting it. You didn't prep for it. Now, of course, people fall down. People miss their assignments.
Sure. Yeah, that's not, you can't put that in your game, in your playbook.
We're going to run the, let's hope the Bears safety is dancing around in the end zone play.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things before we go to break is how you, like it's no different than a basketball player. Like you talk, you know, Kobe Bryant, where they said he worked on one move, like hours mm-hmm. a day, because you want everything to look the same.
Well, it's the Bruce Lee, right? I'd rather, you know, face a man who practices 1,000 kicks once than the guy who practices one kick 1,000 times.
Right. And so that's where you want to be able to be very efficient, both defensively and offensively. And it's going to play a big part what happens in what is it, 20?
I got in 20, trouble for my math to start the 20, show, so 20, I'm done mathing.
26 and, I don't know.
26 and a half hours?
Yeah, 26 and a half hours. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, come back, and I'm going to break down two players on offense and defense for Nebraska that really need to play well or look like could play big roles, lead them to victory. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, second segment, diving into this game that's about 26 and a half hours away, man. People are going to start, you know, really start. I get clock strikes midnight. Is on that highway down to Kansas City is going to be full of Nebraska fans, as it should be, close proximity. I mentioned two players on offense, defense that, you know, could help with the outcome for Nebraska, you know, primarily, you know, offensively. You know, I think it's going to, you know, I always like to try to highlight the guys that aren't the known entities. That's easy. You know, obviously Dylan has to play good, Emmett. But I really think Lyndon Meyer has to be a factor. And the reason why I think he has to be a factor is he could be a matchup problem. And when I'm not saying that he has to have 150 yards, but I think being a safety net, emergency outlet for Dylan, being able to make somebody miss. And I think if he, I'm always trying to give tips. Look for him, or not look for him. A big thing will be if he can get a sneaky first, let's call it a drive extending first down. The one where, say, Dylan's under duress, he's blocking. You know, he has the wherewithal just to be a safety net. He makes the linebacker miss. It's 3rd and 8, and he gets 9 yards. Mm-hmm. It's not just the 9 yards, as we talked about, that we'll talk about at times on the black shirt breakdown. It's not just the first down that you get or that Nebraska would get. It's the extra 3 or 4 minutes that you put on the defense as far as taxing them. And also, you're extending the ability to score more points.
Well, and also we had him and they got out of it.
Right.
We should have slammed the door. We left it open. They took advantage. We didn't. Now we got to make up for it.
Because what you have to do as Nebraska is take advantage of that by, number one, extending the drive, obviously by a first down or two. You're able to wear them out if you are as physical as you say you are. But more importantly, it changes their side of the ball to call plays offensively, because it changes where you're looking in the playbook. Because as Nebraska potentially is getting first downs, they are envisioning themselves being backed up. So then, therefore, they have to play a little bit more conservative. So I think if it's Lindemeyer, if he makes a big play, you know, and that's a big play to me. And obviously, he's got to do everything else he's supposed to do. A sneaky drive extending first down would bode well for him. The other guy I think that has to play, that could play a big factor, is, you know, Elijah Pritchard. And I think once he gets in the game, gets comfortable, and if he can play the way he's supposed to, you could potentially see a difference in the way the offensive line looks, plays, and obviously is able to dictate the pace of the game.
And if the offensive line is able to play a different way, that opens up everything else for literally everybody else.
Everybody else. And that's why those are the two most important players, in my opinion, besides the known guys.
Right.
And, you know, it's easy to talk about those because, like I said, by the time we come on, everybody's already, you know, the rehash what Dylan says after the game. Let's look at the guys, the nut and bolts guys that, you know, highlight the other guys.
I'm going to move on the interior of the line. Those three guys versus Cincinnati's defensive line. Yeah. We know tackles are, you know, unresolved at this point. I like your Pritchett pick. Litovsky switching sides from last year at this point from right guard to left guard. Rocco Spindler comes in, guy that comes off a national championship game appearance.
Yeah.
And we know Justin Evans has taken snaps at center before, but not that many in a real game. And okay, fine. He's probably been lined up against them that looks like Dante Corleone in the Big Ten. Those three guys, their first action together coming against, I don't want to make Dante Corleone out to be something he's not, right? Is he, you know, Mazi Smith? Is he Mason Graham? I don't know. Is he any of the dudes from Illinois? Probably comparable, right? Nebraska has seen guys at that level before, so they shouldn't necessarily be surprised by it, but you just never know. I mean, Justin Evans, you know, first real game experience as a center going against someone like that, it's different when you're in charge of the checks, the protections, the calls, all that communication, as opposed to listening what Ben Scott was telling you to do for the last couple of years. There's more on his plate with, you know, two new guys next to him. We didn't play next to Henry Lutovsky last year. Rocco Spindler wasn't even thinking about Lincoln at this point last year. How those three interior guys hold up, I think especially early, could also be a big tell.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to dictate, you know, the initial, you know, part of the game. Corleone gets off early, then you know, be in trouble. And so that's a great point there, Austin, is how they work as a unit against Corleone and company. You know, the thing is, everybody looks at him and they're like, oh, he's Cincinnati's All-American and all that. Well, he's a good player. Now he's looking at it to where he has to essentially understand that he might have to be a decoy, because obviously, as much as that we're focusing on him, everybody knows how good he is now. He's not catching anybody by surprise. So that means his counterparts have to be really good. That means the guys that are playing on the back end have to be really good, which will open up things for him. It's all a team game within the, you know, individual, you know, battles. And so that's a great point. How you control him, how you know where he's at, identify him, but then also not only just have stalemates, but when you have a chance to, like, I guess, take advantage of your, I guess, you know, 3-on-1, you really got to take advantage of it. And so I think that's a great point, but then we'll move to.
But then you also can't just triple team him or double team him all day, right? Rocco's going to have to be able to hold up 1-on-1 against him some snaps. So you can get to the second level with one of those other guys.
And you got to, and the other guys have got to, on Cincinnati's defense, have got to make Nebraska, like, respect them. And that's by making plays that he sets up for you by, you know, obviously his prowess, but then more importantly is making the plays you're not supposed to. And that's by effort and execution, on Cincinnati side of the ball. So another thing is on defensively for Nebraska, obviously, I mentioned before the back end has to play well. You know, I think Watson Trent is a guy that, you know, he's been talked about at times, but I think, you know, kind of under the radar considering his production coming in, but he has a black shirt, he's starting. I think he has to have a good game. And a good game in the sense of, I think it's important for him to, you know, get adjusted to this type of big stage, have a big game from, you know, a middle linebacker standpoint, that's getting everybody lined up, that's getting everybody into the right situations. And then obviously being, you know, the leader of that defense, I think is huge for him. Mm-hmm. And then obviously be very productive at his linebacker position.
And just like you were pointing out in the Whiteboard Wednesday that led off the 4 o'clock hour, you got to wonder how often Cincinnati is going to try to go back to a well like that. You're not going to be 1-on-1 with Pryor or Walker all day, but when you are, can you cut through the wash? Can you do your assignment? Can you bring him down for a 5-yard gain instead of a 15, 25-yard gain?
Yeah, that's it. And you know, where you look at Cincinnati's defensive line, you know, they got 3 seniors, and all of them are redshirt seniors. So you're facing an old grizzly unit in Jackson, Corleone, and McCray. 300-plus guys and one that's 270 pounds. On the flip side, for the defense, right, as we talk about Watson Trent, and then the next guys, they're kind of combination – is Keona Davis / Van Poppel, right? Mm-hmm. Is that's the second. They have to have a big game, because just like everybody has to focus on Corleone, they have to make the Cincinnati interior focus on them by the play that they, you know, going out there and playing well. Why is that important? Cincinnati is going to try to test Nebraska out running the ball. Some form or fashion. That's either direct runs or conventional runs, inside, outside zone, some tosses, some shifts, motions, and running the same place, or throwing it out there into the short, you know, flats or whatever, smoke screens. And that's just an extension of the run, and then obviously quarterback run. Now, Keona Davis, Van Poppel, and company play are going to play huge dividends. You come out hot and shut that down. The way you stop a good quarterback, is like Sorsby, excuse me, is that you make them, you know, one-armed, that you can only pass. It opens up the blitz package. Here comes Shavers. Here comes Javon Wright. Here comes the multitude of body types and stuff and coverages that we can do. Now you're playing right into the Coach Butler's hands that he has way more experience of doing this at the NFL level, down at the big time college level, than anybody on Cincinnati staff does.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's all predicated on those two, three players that I just mentioned.
To go back to that Colorado team from last year, that's kind of what Colorado wanted to do coming into Lincoln. Run the ball just enough to keep Nebraska off balance when you know their bread and butter was putting the ball into Jair Sanders' hands, trying to get it out to Travis Hunter, Jimmy Horn, Marion Cooper, I think it is, on the outside as well. I don't think Cincinnati is going to be a team, Jay, that, you know, is going to be, you know, physicality this, run the ball that. I think Cincinnati is going to use the run game like a jab, right? You feel that? Yeah. You feel that? I'm here. They want to run it just often enough and just successful enough that if they're able to turn their jab into a punch with some actual velocity behind it, okay, cool. They'll take the explosive run, you know, no questions asked. But where does Brendan Sorsby succeed the most? Same place as any other quarterback. When he's on schedule. When you're at 2nd and 6 or less. When you're at 3rd and 4 and less. And the whole playbook is open for you. If Nebraska stops the run early, you put him in, you know, 3rd and 7 plus. Yeah, it's a challenge for the defense. Yeah, it's a challenge for defensive backs and the defensive line to get after the passer and not let him be comfortable. But Cincinnati, I think, is going to be a team kind of like Colorado in that if Nebraska is able to slow down their jabs early with the run game, I don't know how committed they'll be to it throughout the course of the game.
They'll do it just enough to kind of, like you said, stay out. Yeah, feel you out, stay, you know, keep you honest a little bit. And mm-hmm. and really, your analogy of the jab is spot on. And they'll hit you with the jab and throw a right cross, but they're not throwing the right cross to knock you out. But if you stand there and take it on the chops,
okay,
you might be down for a standing 8 count. Now, when you think about Nebraska, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm calling the shot right now. Here's exactly what Nebraska's
going to do. He's Babe Ruth pointing out the window right now for those of you who aren't on stream.
Nebraska is going to, you know, Nebraska do some stuff. And you know, you got to have athletes on there to be able to, you know, you can kind of mush rush, what you like to call it, get Sorsby out in a certain, you know, area of the field where you can have a spy and you can do all that stuff, right? But also think one of the things to look for, Nebraska have Cincinnati in 2nd or 3rd and long. And I saw this in 4 games last year. So I went and did some little homework late at night. They will drop back. And I'm telling you, look, if people are listening, when you see the wide receivers, as I say, the wide side of the field or just in the middle, you see some wide splits. It's quarterback run, tight end super delay. And it's the worst spot to be in as a linebacker.
The nightmare fuel.
It is nightmare. I seen that with Michael Vick. I was like, where is the help? You know, you in the
where
middle,
are you?
Where are you right now?
I called for reinforcements 7 steps ago.
And ain't nobody coming. It's me and Antoine Randall L in the middle of the field in the flat.
You put him on Jay Foreman Island.
He was zigging and zagging. I kept zigging. The reason why that's important is because no matter if it's man or zone, you're gonna have some expansion by the safeties by alignment, even if you're trying to fool them in rock and roll. You and man to man, backs to the quarterback. Here comes Sorsby. He thinks he's Tim Tebow. He thinks he's Tim Tebow. So
what if I called him Big 12 Luke Altmaier?
Yeah, but you know, but here's what people don't understand, and this is, I want to get another tip. If I was coaching, you want to know how you really want to stop a quarterback from running, especially a big dude like that. You got to chop him down.
None of these shoulder tackles?
Well, if I get a chance, I'm going to blow you up, okay? I'm going to bump tackle. I'm gonna try to rock the mic. But the reason, I'm going to hit you in your legs. Here's why I'm going to do it, because I'm paying dividends. Then you're not going to be trying to get, you know, really step in your throws and all that stuff. I'm not trying to hurt you, but I got to test them shins out.
Yep, no helmets to kneecaps or anything like that.
No, we're going to roll tackle, but we got to get the, we got to check.
That's why you wear thigh pads, right?
Yeah, we got to test all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. And
your equipment straight, Sorsby?
Yeah, we got to make sure you're all right. Make sure you're meeting the standards. So, you know, those are my two guys on defense. I think they're going to, you know, got to play well. I look for Nebraska to play a lot of guys. They've shown that they were going to, they are willing to play a lot of guys on defense. So, you know, we'll see here in about 27 hours. So, or 26 hours, 25 hours. Anyways, we'll take a quick break, put a bow on this bad boy pre Bearcat beatdown Eve.
Woo.
Now we're going to come back with my game prediction, score prediction. It's a 7-point spread, right?
I believe so.
6.5, 7. I'm going to give you so you can make some money, Steve Stevens style. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Well, we're back, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. A little pregame prediction. We got a game less than 26 hours away. Nebraska comes in favored by, as of now, Austin. Where do you check?
I just went to ESPN and saw 6.5.
All right, we're 6.5-point favorite. I like the bet. I like Nebraska by more. Easy enough.
Okay. What's a target number of points for the offense to score? To say that, yep, looks pretty good in week one.
Oh, they got 31.
And defense, 20 or less is a good step in the right direction?
Yeah. I think the defense goal should be 20 points or less, and offense at least 31 or more.
I'd even settle for 28 out of the offense, which doesn't sound like a lot, but the last time Nebraska averaged 28 points per game, I'm pretty sure was in the COVID year of 2020. Mm-hmm. If not, it was, I think, 19 then. It's been a minute since Nebraska has even averaged a touchdown per quarter at the end of the game. That's not acceptable. So even just getting to, 28 points per game on its face doesn't sound like a lot, would be a big step back toward respectability for this offense.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with, what continuity we got back in a defense that's in Cincinnati that's there for the taking. We definitely got to do work.
Mm-hmm.
Do work.
Steve Stevens' money management says take Nebraska and the points.
Take Nebraska and the points. And real quick, Big Bang Hank says, what are you grilling? I'm not grilling anything tomorrow. I'm eating everything in sight.
He's not grilling. He's grubbing.
I'm grubbing. And we'll be at the blur about 5 o'clock. I'll be there, pop in about 5 o'clock, get that party started. Mm. All shots and drinks are on Jake Sorensen.
True. True.
Anyways, I'll definitely call in too after the game. So I'll be down in Kansas City representing to the fullest.
You'll see if he'll be lucky to get me to answer the phone. I'm kidding.
That's all right.
I'm kidding. I'll send a text.
You can do it like you can read my text online. You just got to take out the curse words. Anyway, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school. We'll holler at you next week.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.